I do want to also make note that we are honored to have for us today our chapel speaker, Dr. John Mack, as most of us call him, Dr. John Mack. McCarty will be speaking here today, this morning. He is a true friend of this campus and all the students, and we are honored to have you here today, sir. We're looking forward to your ministry from God's Word.
Let us pray. Father God, we, your children, are gathered once again to come before you with thanksgiving in our heart, knowing that you and you alone is God. We are mindful, God, there's nothing about us that you don't already know. There's no request that can flow from our lips that you don't even know, that you don't already know what's on our heart. But you tell us, God, we have not because we ask not. So we come pouring out our cares, our desires, our problems, our hopes, and our dreams, knowing that you are able to do more than we ever can imagine. It is my prayer, God, that some way, somehow, your love will flow through me into the hearts and minds and soak to the very marrow of the bones of your children, that no matter where they may go, no matter where they stand, God, your love will flow through them and touch all that are around them. Somehow, some way, God, help us to make this world a place in which you'll be well pleased. Now, God, please use this thou servant to share a word to these your children. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. If you'd be so kind, please open your Bibles, or I'm sorry, most of you don't open your Bibles anymore. If you would kindly bring up on your screen or whichever way you want to do it, 2 Kings chapter 5. And I will share with you something one of the members in the church I pastored for about 15 years. She was into technology, but she looked at me and asked one day, as the younger people in the church was using more and more technology, she looked at me and said, "Pastor, please, if you don't mind, I'm not quite there yet. When you stand to preach, let me see your Bible." So if y'all don't mind, just for her, I'm holding this up, just you know, I do have a Bible. And they do say Holy Bible. It's just not in the Bible. It's the Holy Bible. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5, began reading at verse 1. And in my Bible, this is talking about the healing of Naaman. So hear ye the words as recorded in 2 Kings. Now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Syria. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of Syrians had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Syria replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 shekels of gold and 10 sets of clothes. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." Verse 7, "As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, 'Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of leprosy? See how he's trying to pick a quarrel with me.' When Elijah, the man of man of God heard that the king of Israel had torn his robe, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robe? Have the man come to me, and he would know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and ye and your flesh shall be restored, and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hands over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharmah, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters in Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servant went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he tell you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, and the man of God, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean, like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. I'm going to stop there. I think that's a good place to stop if you don't mind. Now I know there's no other God in all the world except in Israel. Wow. God, amazing grace. I don't know about you, but being a Christian, it gets to be interesting when you start reading the word. You know, it's nice to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but then there's some expectation that every now and then you will open the Bible and actually read it for yourself. You don't just let the preacher stand and you don't think you need to read it for yourself? You mean you don't bring your iPad and open it up and read the Word of God? Oh, that's something foreign to you? Well, let's say it like this. You should read the Word of God for yourself. Every Christian should. One of the things that sort of shocked me is in conversation with preachers, and you get to talk and they find out that there's a lot of preachers who are pastoring who haven't read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You go, what? You preaching and you hadn't read the Word of God? There's something wrong with this picture. Surely that wouldn't be anybody here. I'm sure all of you read, if nothing else, the professors require you to read as they teach the course. So you, at least for you, when you leave here, you at least went through at least one time in your life. So nod your head and say, yes, I'm reading the Word of God. Make the preacher feel all right. Okay. But what shocked me when I read the Word of God is how God always tells us that when people treat us bad, we are supposed to show the Christian in us and treat them good. And you go, wait a minute. Somebody just abused me and misused me, and I'm supposed to be nice to them? So as I look at this story here about Naaman, I get caught with Naaman, who is a Syrian, is at war with Israel. And here God is doing something great with an enemy of Israel. You go, wow, Lord. You actually mean that I should do something good to those who despitefully use me. Wow. You even show it to me in your word. Here is an enemy of Israel who you use to deal with Israel. Wow. What amazing God we serve. Now, I'm going to say, hit three main points, and I'm going to shut up and get and move out the way. Then I can see the clock in the back. I don't know why they put clocks in the back. But I can see it. Now I can't. I'm good. I meant three things. I'm going to talk about the problem. I'm going to talk about a promise. I'm going to talk about the praise. Brothers and sisters, if you live long enough, I guarantee you will have problems in your life. Look how this opened up. Now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Syria. He was a great man in the sight of his master, highly regarded. Because through him, look at that, the Lord. And you know, somewhere someone told me when I see Lord in all capital letters, they're talking about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They ain't talking about just any old God. They're talking about the God. The Lord has given him victory. Wow. He was a great man. Highly esteemed. The king loved him. It was great. Then you read, but he had leprosy. Another thing I probably can stand here and say, I promise you, in your lifetime, you're going to get sick. Just live long enough, you will get sick. Something as little as a common cold. Someone cough, you look at them, you walk away. That night, you coughing, you hacking, you will get sick. It doesn't matter how successful you are or how other people think about you. There's some things that can happen in your life that will cause you to take a pause and realize, even though things are great, something can happen to change those things. Leprosy in those days was the kiss of death. Leprosy in advanced stages, you have to tell people unclean so nobody be around you. You have to separate yourself. But he was in the early stages. And notice something else. The problem, he had leprosy, but as you read on into the account, there's another problem. There's a problem of faith. Naaman had to believe that the prophet would heal him. And we see this faith problem playing out with the servant girl who was snatched away from her family, and now she's a slave to in name and household. But notice how she act. She wasn't saying, oh, woe is me. I won't see my parents anymore. She was doing what God required all of us to do. No matter where we are to sing praises to the Lord God Almighty. And brothers and sisters, you can't do that if you don't have a close walk with God. If you don't spend time with God, reading his word, meditating on his word, letting his word get in you, in bad situation, God will not come out of you. That other man in you will come out. And brothers and sisters, understand something. Your greatest testimony is not when you're on cloud nine, not when things are going great. Your greatest testimony is when you're down in the valley and things are going bad. Here is this girl, been snatched from her family. She's a servant. And yet she had compassion on Naaman. The words to train up a child in the way she should go. She knew enough about her God and had enough faith in her God that she believed that God could heal. She knew there was a prophet in Samaria that knew God. If my master would go to him, he would cure him. This faith problem this little girl had, Naaman seemed to have a little bit of faith because he went. But notice the king of Israel. The very one who should have faith, the king of the people of God should have faith. But notice how he responds. Look at it. When he got the letter, what is he trying to do? He tore his robe. He got in a panic. He even didn't even acknowledge that there was a prophet in the land. Here a girl in slavery had been snatched away. She knew Elisha was there. But the king acted like he didn't even know he was there. If you read your Bible, you know the king was serving another god. And he couldn't stand Elijah. Here's something you need to understand. Because you are children of God, there's nowhere you can go where that will not come out. Every place you go, whether you want to testify or not, just the mere fact that you are a child of God and you love God and you worship Him, it would show in the way you carry yourself and the way you deal with others. There are no true secret agent Christians. None of us work undercover. The Spirit of God reach out and let other people know who we are. And brothers and sisters, most sinners see us coming. There come that holy roller. Wow. Praise God. The king, the very one who should know, who should have known there was a prophet in the land, didn't show any signs of faith whatsoever in God. Didn't even call on God. And another problem comes at the end when Elijah tells Naaman what he needs to do, and Naaman storm off. His pride. And please be careful. You are about to receive one of the greatest seminary educations you will ever receive. Your understanding of how to share the word of God with someone else will be increasingly magnified through the men and women God have put here and have gifted with the ability to teach His word. When you walk out of here, you will be head and shoulders above the average person in the pew and a whole lot of preachers. And if you happen to look like me, there's not too many people outside who are serving as pastors who have seminary degrees. You will be a threat. So please be careful. Because God have blessed you, don't let your holiness become so arrogant that nobody can stand to be around you. Don't be so religious that you can't testify or come alongside somebody who is struggling. See, that's because the pastor can't pronounce half the words in the Bible. Don't show him up. Come alongside him and quietly help him behind the scenes. And just because God has shown you how to deal with all kind of problems, don't think that you won't have problems also. Wow. You're going to have to be like Naaman. You're going to have to get to the same point he got to and humble yourself. So I'll talk to you about the problems. Look at the promise. Drop down there and look at it. If you look down, I'm going to start reading at verse 8. But when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robe, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robe? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman went with his horses and chariot and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Now here's the promise. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, go. wash yourself seven times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. The promise. A simple message. Brothers and sisters, salvation as presented in the Word of God is very simple. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Ye shall be saved. Wow. But everybody make it so complex. There's a thousand other things we need to do. And a lot of us act just like Naaman do. When the gospel is presented to us, just accept Jesus? What do you mean? Naaman, this great man. And you see his pride came out there. And that's why he went out in a rage. But notice what happened again. A servant, not somebody high official, a servant looked at him and said, wait a minute. If he asked you to go do something great, you'd have went out and did it. All he asked you to do was go wash. Something simple. The Bible just asks us to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Wow. And Naaman listened to his servant. Brother and sister, isn't it amazing? You read through the Bible, and the Bible is full of incidents where it's not the great people who said the right thing sometimes. Every now and then you read account how God used a nobody, because you notice the servant is not named. Neither of the servant is given a name. A nobody will come aside and say something profound to cause something great to happen. A servant, a nameless individual, just spoke. You go there, there's somebody can help you. A servant, while his boss was in a rage, Father, if he had told you to go do something great, you would have did it. All he asked you to do was go wash. Wow. Brothers and sisters, we never know when God had a divine appointment for us. Well, God had orchestrated things in such a way that somebody come alongside you or come in your path, and just because you're willing to share what God have done for you or give them a kind hearing, you do not know the power of what's going on. You can change somebody's whole life trajectory just by willing to be what God has called you to be, a child of God and his servant. Wow. Some of the greatest sermons ever preached is not in the pulpit. They'll preach in your daily lives and the way you go about doing things. They speak very profoundly about who you are and do you believe what you're preaching and reading about. The promise, go watch. Now, you need to understand something. I come from a poor background, so we didn't have a whole lot of toys, so I have a great imagination. Now, here's a man who's a heathen being told to go wash and he'll be clean. He want to believe it because he want to be cured. He want to be cured, but his dignity say, I just can't see myself doing it. Not in that old dirty Jordan. If you told me to go back to the rivers in my own country, oh yeah, I can do that. But here, can you imagine it? Can you see in your mind, here this great man, highly proud, okay, and come to the Jordan. I got to do this seven times. Okay. He do it one time. Can you imagine what's going on to his mind? This is stupid. Getting in this muddy water. He do it two times. I wonder who's looking at me. Three times. Man, ain't nothing happened. Four times. Oh, man. Why couldn't I just do it one time? One time be enough? Five. Oh, still look like six. I'm going to do it one more time. Seven. God have a way of doing things better than what we ever imagined. Because notice what the scripture said. His skin was like that of a young child. He didn't just cleanse him. He wasn't old and wrinkled like me. He was young like most of you. Well, like some of you anyway. He healed him. He cured him. And it was so profound that some commentators say here it took him from Elijah's house to the Jordan, 25 miles. Now he's on the way home at the Jordan. If you keep going, he's going home. But he was so profound and so moved about what happened that he turned around and went back to Elijah. He went back to him. And when he got back to him, he said something very profound. There is no God except the God in Israel. Wow. All because a little servant girl said, go. And another servant said, why don't you obey the man? Wow. Nameless individuals being used by God to do great things. Isn't God awesome? You know what's so awesome about this? He is a heathen general now professing a belief in the one true God, a foreigner. And guess what? He's sincere, because if you keep reading, he said, now this part for preachers is a little difficult. I'm going to tell you, it's a little difficult because he offered to give Elijah a present. I know you seminary students, y'all have plenty of money, so somebody going to offer you a present, you're going to say, just like Elijah, no, I don't need it. I know you're going to say that. But something big was at stake here. Naaman thought he could buy his cure. Elijah wanted to make sure he understood, no, you can't. God is not for sale. And the thing that God do for you is not for sale. So he turned him down. No. Now, for those of you who know background, you know in the Near East, haggling is a way of life. So you say no, but you don't really mean no. You waiting for the guy to offer it again. And on the third time, you'll say yes. But he was serious here. No. Not for sale. But then Naaman said, okay. Because Naaman believed the only place he can truly serve God was in the land that God was over. He didn't know God was everywhere. God was showing him that, but he hadn't quite got there yet. Let me take what two mules can take with me, because I will not offer a burnt offering to anyone else except God. Notice what just happened. The God of Israel have just put a camp in Syria. What an awesome God we serve. Wow. Brothers and sisters, God is able to do great things. And most often than not, he chooses to work through the insignificant to make great changes in the world. It is my prayer that some way, somehow, God would use us to make a difference in his world. Wow. Naaman left a new man. So I stood here and I told you that I was going to talk about three things. The problem, which I told you, the problem was Naaman had leprosy, which he was cured. His faith, he ended up with faith in God. The promise. Notice the promise wasn't fulfilled until Naaman obeyed. Guess what? The promise in the Word of God to you and I depends on our obedience to God And a lot of times, God gonna ask us to do things that we flat don't want to do. But we know it's God's will. And brothers and sisters, you mature in Christ, you grow in Christ when you do what you don't want to do, but you know it is what God wants you to do. And the praise, there is no other God in all the world but the God of Israel. I close with this. And if you're ever in a black church, you see a preacher do this, close his Bible. He is about to go into another tone of preaching. But I'm not doing that today. I will close with this. Because what's amazing about this is God's grace. For it is by grace ye are saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no man can boast. Brothers and sisters, learn all you can, be as faithful as you can, but know everything depends on your walk with God. It is only by his grace that you and I will ever make it into heaven. Unfortunately, I can make out my time is almost up. So let me leave you with this. The old preacher said, once you get to heaven, you'll be all knowing. You'll know all things. All secrets will be known to you. The song says, if you get there before I do, tell all the saints that I'm coming to. I stand here before you and say, if you get there and you look around, you find yourself in a line, you look around, and you don't see me. It's very simple. I know I'm going to heaven. How do I know? Because I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and the Word of God says so. If you get to a place that you think is heaven and you don't see me, you just might be in the wrong place. Amen.